You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We're going to do things a little bit different for this episode because the news is coming in still fast for today. Basically, we're going to talk about Bursa Malaysia Berhad's announcement of record profits that we've seen. Earlier today, they announced 377 million profit after tax. And of course, this is the highest that they have ever gotten since they listed in 2005. There's a few things that I want to share with you when it comes to Bursa Malaysia's announcement. First, let's look at the operating profit that they've gotten. This year, their operating profit margin is actually 47%. If you look at 2019, their operating profit was at 38%. This is from 38% in 2019 to 47% last year, signifies a greater amount of control of cost, also an increased level of efficiency. We can look at how they are managing cost in the sense that there's not much drive, physical events that needs to be done, physical items that or carnivals or all those kind of stuff that needs to be done for last year. Because of that, they have cut down their operating cost and therefore increased their operating margin, and at the same time increasing their revenue outright because of retail investors, which we will get to shortly. Another item that I want to highlight is of course the gross profit margin, because when we look at the gross profit margin for 2020, the gross profit of 506 against a revenue of 800 million ringgit gives you the GPM of 63%. This is set against a 51% gross profit margin for 2019. So if you think about it, for every dollar that they make in 2019, about half gets them into the gross profit range for 2019. But for 2020, close to two-thirds of that same one ringgit that they got or they received for 2020 gets them that gross margin for 2020. Because of the number increasing, or the gross profit margin increasing from 51% in 2019 to 63% in 2020, clearly indicates that they have managed to control cost of sale, clearly they managed to control cost like IT, maintenance and stuff like that. This is despite in their press statement, they were talking about increased expenses in both regards, in operating cost as well as gross cost and all that. But of course, we look at the overall arcing story of higher revenue, higher gross profit. That's a clear indication that they've managed to increase cost very they've managed to reduce cost very well and increase the gross profit margin increasingly well too when we look at 2019 and 2020. But the story here is about the earnings per share for Bursa Malaysia Berhad. When they've announced dividends of 50 cent per share, it's really high, you know, when compared against the year before it was 20 cent. And when you look at the earnings per share of 46.7 for 2020 against 23 cent set in 2019, this gives you an indication that the company Bursa Malaysia Berhad is operating at full force, and they're operating at full capacity and full operational efficiency for 2020. But are they unique? Sadly, no, they're not unique. Why? Because the capital markets have seen a boom in 2020, particularly equity capital markets have seen a boom. We've seen retail investors flocking to their various domestic markets. Malaysia is not excluded. Retail investors are flocking into the sector as well. And because of that, we're seeing a rapid rise in terms of revenue based on the participation of the retail investors. So based on this, we know for a fact that capital markets, at least local bourses and their operators, in this case Bursa Malaysia for the local bourse, is seeing that or enjoying that benefit of increased tremendous capacity for retail investors to come into the market right now. So before I go any further on my commentary, here's a snippet of the CEO of Bursa Malaysia talking about some movements of the company for today. Take a look.
Our ability to handle the significant increase in volume and to achieve this exceptional performance is a testament to the steadfast and unwavering commitment we have made through continued investment in our growth initiatives. On behalf of the Board of Directors of Bursa Malaysia, I am pleased to declare a final dividend of 26 cents per share and a special dividend of 8 cents per share in respect of the financial year ended 31st December 2020. This brings the total dividend payout for the financial year to 51 cents per share, or 145% higher than the total dividend of 20.8 cents per share for the previous financial year and 2019.
The nation is being challenged with the COVID-19 pandemic, and we've always remained accessible and taken necessary measures to ensure the market is open. This is important for all investors, and particularly our retail investors, who we'll touch on shortly, who've re-emerged as an investing class. We've worked alongside industry participants to support and make sure the business resilience is there, and to navigate what has been a challenging period for all of us. The COVID-19 pandemic certainly brought challenges in terms of working arrangements, but I'm pleased to, working with our broker partners, that we've been able, using technology, to overcome that.
So there you have it. Dato' Umar Swift was talking a lot just now in terms of what happened last year for the company. But let's take a look into the statement that was given, right, by Bursa Malaysia, by Dato' Umar and many others just now. We look at the participation of retail investors per se. When we look at the participation of retail investors, there are clearly two markers that we need to think about. Number one, CDS account opening. And number two, the average daily trading value, particularly for retail ADV. These two indicators shot up for 2020 considerably. If you look at the account CDS opening, it was record opening for last year. And of that, 65% are millennials, meaning that the sustainability of the vibrancy of the Malaysian capital markets is continuing to grow in the years to come. When you have 65% new account openings coming in from those aged 25 to 40 years old, you are signaling to the rest of the world that we have a young population that is very much interested in participating in the capital markets and is very much interested in buying and selling and investing, trading shares and perhaps even derivatives and all the other instruments and services and products that is being offered by Bursa Malaysia. And when you have a young population doing this, their wealth under, you know, normal circumstances, economists like to say ceteris paribus, all things held equal, their personal wealth will continue to grow as they enhance themselves in their careers. They will see greater participation of their wealth and grow their wealth management in the Malaysian capital markets in the years to come. So that is when it comes to the account CDS opening. When it comes to the retail ADV or the average trading value, here is another marker that gives you a greater amount of signal that the retail investors in Malaysia are actually very vibrant as well. When we talk about ADV going up 236% for 2020, imagine 236% retail ADV shot up in 2020 against 2019 with 1.6 billion transactions taking place last year. This is a clear indication that retail investors not only want to get themselves involved, not only are they opening their accounts, their CDS accounts, they are entering the market and they are exiting the market as and when they choose to or see fit, and they are very actively participating in the capital markets last year. Now, here comes the topic of whether or not this is sustainable when it comes to high volume trading, when it comes to retail investors. This is entering the realm of Nostradamus and prophecy, because I don't think any commentators out there is willing to stick out their neck and say that it's going to be one way or the other. But for me, here is what I think. I think that retail participation took a big booster, a shot in the arm when it comes to investing in the capital markets. But for this year, it's going to be a little bit more measured and a little bit more subdued. if they do enter the market, it's going to be a little bit more deliberate. They know already some sectors that are high volatility in terms of investments. We have seen how the rubber glove industry has shot up and gone down and gone up again, very volatile. We've seen how some small stock caps are doing fairly well initially, and then they lost almost all their value in the months preceding after that. So we've seen how the retail investors understanding the market a little bit more, and because of that, they're going to take a little bit more measured approach in terms of investing in the stock market for this year. That's what I think. But for now, we'll go for a short break. When we come back, we'll continue to discuss a little bit more about the ongoings of Bursa Malaysia. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back. This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Today, we are dedicating the entire show talking about Bursa Malaysia's financial performance, which we have seen recorded a very high profit rate, highest that they have ever attained. Let's take a look into what the chairman of Bursa Malaysia has to say, Tan Sri Wahid, in the press conference earlier today.
The need for resilient operations is always important, particularly so when the markets are reacting to heightened volatilities. I must say that I am extremely proud of our Bursa Malaysia team, led by Dr. Mohamed Omar Swift, and the awards received throughout the year 2020 is a testament to the team's hard work and commitment.
So as we can see, Tan Sri Wahid was talking a lot about the domestic liquidity and the ability for Malaysia to have benefited from the increased presence of domestic retail investors. And in the press statement, he was also talking about the convenience of online broking and conducive low interest rate environment and all the other stuff that comes along with it. He says that because of the exceptional financial performance, this bear testament that the steadfast and unwavering commitment that Bursa Malaysia have made has provided a solid foundation, contributing to the resilience of the Malaysian capital market. And he argues that we have seen Malaysian stock exchange is one of the strongest in the ASEAN region. Now, let's put some context into this. The context is that the Malaysian stock market has taken a bad, beating over the past few years if we are to compare against all the other stock exchanges in the region. And because of the fact that Bursa Malaysia has taken a bit of a hit over the past few years, for us to come out strong for 2020 is more of us returning to normalcy rather than thumping our chest and saying that we're the best in the region. We're still far from it. We have to acknowledge the fact that just because Bursa Malaysia registered 377 million profit after tax doesn't mean that, okay, this is it. This is the market that we need to be in. We have to think about foreign investors still shying away from investing domestically. There's a lot of debate about foreign direct investments coming in and out of the country, and mostly out of the country over the past few years. Not just because of, say, for instance, Pakatan lost the power and Perikatan took over, or Barisan Nasional lost the power and Pakatan took over. It's not much about those single time events happening every once or 2 years. It's the longer term story of how Malaysia as a business institution is operating. When we look at our neighbors, low cost strategy employed in Vietnam, low cost strategy that is being employed in Indonesia, low tax regime, high efficiency that is being employed by Singapore, high manufacturing intensity and focus given by Thailand. Every market in ASEAN seems to have a competitive edge that the other neighbors are having a tough time assailing. So what is the competitive edge of Malaysia then? What is the story about what Malaysia is good at when we are basing ourselves against our neighbors? There's not much to be told, right? Let's be honest about ourselves here. So now we have to really start thinking about how do we attract not just the domestic retail investors like we've seen in 2020, but how do we attract foreign investors, institutional investors, sovereign funds particularly the rich ones like Norway or all the other stuff like BlackRock or whatever, investing their funds in the Malaysian capital markets. The only answer to this is, of course, good corporate governance, stable political climate, very strong infrastructure, sound regulatory framework, strong recourse when we talk about legal recourse. It's the basics. And a lot of our neighbors, even if they are not strong in all of those basics that I spoke of, they are good in some of it. And in Malaysia, we are more or less mediocre in many of it, but not really strong in any of it. And this is an opportunity for Malaysia to rise up to the challenge and say to each other, look, we want to battle corruption really bad. We want to make sure that our jurisdiction is actually fair. We want to make sure that the tax regime that is being employed in the country is actually fair for those that are employing it. I mean, if we stick to the basics and we try to gun down the one or two things that we think can be really, really good at in terms of getting more leverage against our neighbors, I think we can do it, right? And a lot of investors are saying the same thing. If only Malaysia kept its head down, kept it rolling, I'm sure we can take care of foreign money coming in. We have done it before. We've done it in the 1990s. We almost did it in the noughties, but we completely lost our mojos in the teens, right? From 2010 to 2020. What will this decade bring, the decade of 2021, post-pandemic, bring about for Malaysia and for corporate Malaysia or Malaysia Incorporated when it comes to the capital markets, when attracting foreign funds, when attracting insti funds coming in into the country? That has to be the story for the year moving forward, post-Bursa announcement for 2020. And of course, when we look at some of the statements coming in from Bursa Malaysia, the two captains of the company, Tan Sri Wahid and Dato' Omar, we've had them on the show a few times. They're very pragmatic and they're very nuanced in how they view things and around them, right? Particularly when we talk about the sensitivity surrounding the political climate that Malaysia is going through right now. It's not going to be easy, but we know that they are stable and they are firm in how they do their thing. And we know that because of the stability of the domestic retail investors that we can think of, it's going to be a good year for Bursa for 2021 as well. Again, young investors are coming in, retail investing is strong, people are understanding a little bit more about the markets, and people are educating themselves and educating each other about how the market works. Perhaps now is the time to think about what lays ahead. Before we end this show, we really need to talk about one rather philosophical thing, which is, of course, capital. The Bursa announcement underlines yet again the fact that those with capital tend to do well and tend to do a lot more well than those without it. Labor, people like me who might not have a lot of capital but is relying on my own capacity to work and to create value for my organization and for those that are living around me, we tend to lose out against those that have capital. So when we talk about capitalism, it's always about capital. Hence the name, the devil's in the name, right? And those with capital in 2020 have benefited from the pandemic. To say that those with capital did not benefit from the pandemic is a straight out lie. People with capital invested their money and they got returns. And while those are the things that we need to think about moving forward, we really have to talk about the concept of capital versus labor. But we'll continue on this discussion after this break. When we come back, we'll talk more about capital and labor. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back. This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Throughout the entire show, we were talking about Bursa Malaysia, their performance of 2020, retail investors coming into the stock market, Malaysia's competitiveness in the realm of the business environment for Southeast Asia. But one thing that we really have to talk about is, of course, the philosophical argument of capital versus labor. Because make no mistake, in the year 2020, those with capital benefited immensely more than those with labor. those with capital invested their money in the stock exchange or any other areas that they want to invest in, and for better or worse, they got their results and they got their returns for the year. But those with labor, some of them literally lost their jobs. Some of them ended up being underemployed instead of being unemployed. I don't know which is worse. Some of them continue to work, but may see a very bleak future in the months, if not the weeks to come. So just because you have labor doesn't mean that you're going to be prosperous for the year 2020. Just because you have the power or intelligence to push through ahead when it comes to creating value for the organizations that you work for, or for the entrepreneurship that you are running, or the businesses that you run, there is no guarantee that you're going to be better off in 2021 than you were in the previous years preceding to this one. However, the same can't be said about those with capital, because as evidenced in the Bursa Malaysia earnings earlier today, those with capital invested their money and they did get returns despite a raging pandemic going through the world right now, despite the vaccine still being miles away from our being getting shot in our arms, at least in Malaysia, despite the fact that the hospitals are overcrowded and are currently being overrun by people not just with COVID but all the other ailments that they have since postponed getting treated for, and now they can't prolong it and they have to turn up at the hospitals to deal with those elective cases and all the other non-communicable diseases that they're suffering from. Despite all this, those with capital continue to march on to increase their wealth. Now, understand this. Just because you have capital doesn't mean that those without it need to feel envious or jealous. There is no need for animosity to go about it. The way I look at it is the concept of capitalism and capital inside capitalism needs to be inherently discussed and perhaps even entangled further. There is no other way to do this other than government involvement as well as the demand from the people. Yes, Malaysia is going through a unique phase right now. Our political stability is currently not that. It is very unstable. But at the same time, we have to look at capitalism with a closer eye and see how can we make wealth more equitable for the rest of us, for the rest of us that do not yet have capital to grow, for the rest of us that might lose our jobs in the near term or have lost our jobs in the previous term and therefore cannot have capital by means of not being able to have any income moving into it. Those without capital must really think about sharing their wealth with those without it, and those in power must think about distributing the wealth more equitably to those without capital. That has to be the conversation that needs to take place post today. In fact, it should have been discussed a long time ago. So perhaps now is the time for us to continue on and create that call even further. How to make wealth more equitable across the nation, perhaps particularly for those that do not have capital. That's it for the episode for today. I hope that you have enjoyed my monologue, and I hope that there's something beneficial that has come out of it. If you've missed any part of this interview, just go on to astroawani.com, look for Notepad over there. You can also download these kind of interviews and watch it on your mobile devices, is by using the Astro Awani application. In the days to come, I'm going to be having a host of guests on my show, CEOs mostly, and we'll start with the CEO of an insurance company that's coming on for tomorrow. So don't miss that one. Till then, thanks very much for watching, and goodbye.